Hi, everybody, and welcome to T&M Coaching Interconnected Podcast. I'm so grateful and happy to be with you once again. And thank you so much for subscribing, for liking, and for sharing the knowledge that we share on this podcast. And today we have a very interesting conversation around talent. You know, a lot of the times we have received feedback from the clients we coach and train that they're struggling with talent retention. They're trying to create a ways to acknowledge, to celebrate their employees' contributions. And they're also trying to reward and stimulate and motivate talents in the best possible way going forward. So today's topic is going to be all about talent and us sharing a few bits and pieces that we believe are really good hacks in working with your talents, making sure that your talents are shining brightly and that the organization is happy and it can retain its talents inside out. And today in this conversation, we have Robbie Kahn. He is a communication leadership coach and consultant working in leadership, presentation skills, impact through emotional intelligence. Robbie is also creator of the concept Leader Like You that has been borrowed from Robbie's extensive worldwide experience and research through his company, RCCom. Robbie has multiplicities of skills and competences. You're going to see this once when we start talking, but it ranges from management to consulting to corporate executive communication and coaching, investors to relationship, media relations, and marketing. He is multi-talented, inspiring speaker and trainer, and amazing coach as well. So, Robbie, welcome.
Thank you, Zara. It's great to be here, and it's great to see you, and thank you for having me back again on the pod.
Yeah. So, talents. Everybody's struggling a little bit. Everybody's talking about it. And now, more and more, I'm listening to our clients and they're all wanting to engage in this conversation, how to retain, how to inspire, how to motivate, how to reward talents. So it's an interesting topic, right?
It is. And it's funny how the war for talent didn't go away. When I first met you in 2000, McKinsey put out a report called The War for Talent. And people thought, oh, this is like a 3 to 5 year thing. So retaining talent is huge and attracting talent's even bigger. A lot of organizations tell me they can't find, they have open positions because they can't find the right people. And then what they tell me is the people they do have, it's hard to keep them. So absolutely relevant, especially as you come up to year end.
Yeah, and when it comes to keeping the talents, let's start with that because you are specialized in leadership development and the concept leaders like you. So you're talking to a lot of leaders around the talent retention and being able to work with the talent. So where would you like to start? What do you think is the most relevant thing for the leaders to take into consideration when it comes to that?
So when I have a group of leaders, and I could have 10 to 20 leaders a couple times a month in front of me, there's a couple questions I ask them. And it is very interesting because this provides what I call anecdotal evidence. One was the thing that comes up in the first half hour of a conversation is leaders say, I need to motivate my people. Ah. And then I say, okay, stop. Basic universal human truth. You can't motivate anybody. And they're a bit shocked because they've lived in a world where like, I need to be a motivational leader manager. And they say, no. Because if you could motivate people, you'd go out to the open space where your people sit. You'd open the door and you say, hey, you guys, the marketing team next week, so motivate. You bring up your level of motivation, please. And so I asked the leaders, if somebody said that to you, what would happen? They said, well, not only would I not be motivated, I think my motivation will go down. So they're like, so if we can't motivate people, what can we do? And I said, well, there's inspirational leadership. You can inspire people when you know what motivates them. So they let that trickle down and they're like, interesting, never thought of that. So the first entry point is you can't do any of this if you don't know how to inspire people. And then I'll pick a leader in the room and say, how big is your team? She'll say, well, I've got 8 direct reports and 2 indirect and 3 consultants and it's like 12 people. Like, okay. And how long have you been with them? Oh, a couple of years and a few are new. And I said, so, okay, 12 people. So you have 12 lists of what currently motivates those people. She goes, I thought you couldn't motivate people. It's like, no. You inspire them, though the only way you can do it is to know what motivates them. No, I don't really know. I think so. Like, give me an example. well, I think she wants big projects and I think he wants to stretch here. It's like, though, you don't know. So to recognize and foster talent, one of the first, I guess, the entry point for me is find out what's motivational for your people. And I have a list of conversational starters, which I'll provide you, because a lot of people don't know where to start with it. So this is just a list of things, and asking people, you know, which of these are important, rate them from 0 to 10, and of the 3 to 5, if you had to have several, what would they be? As a leader, once you know what people find motivational, you can do the inspirational job. And then what I suggest to leaders is it's not written in stone. So at the start of the year, maybe something's going on in your life that what was motivational in the year before, and now that can evolve. So you need to keep the conversation warm. Then the next thing I've noticed when I talk to leaders is, how many of your people have a development plan? And I would say, when I have a group of 20 people and I ask them, and there's maybe like 2 people in the room who are, they're like, well, I don't know if it's a development plan. I have a list of things. I have some classes I need to take. So I usually say, just to make them feel good, it looks like less than half. And most people don't have development plans themselves when they come in. And then I ask them, so who here in the room has a development plan with your people? Not often. So then the question is, okay, so if you want to foster talent, you want to retain talent, you want to inspire people, if you don't know how your people want to develop, and if you don't know what's motivational for them, you're basically taking shots at the dark. Just kind of like, I think I'll try this, I think I'll try that. So the objective in the motivational, inspirational conversation is to find this out. And then after that, some form of development plan. Now, when I was in the corporate world, I had a leader. He was 64 and a half years old, soon to retire. And on the annual evaluation form, I remember distinctly, we had filled it out. And he's like, I think we're done. I just need to sign here. And then he says, here, you sign there and we're done. And then he woke up. He's like, oh, wait, personal development. And there's a box. He says, HR put in a new box. So I'm like looking at it from the other side. And I said, oh, yeah, there's a box there. He goes, let me look. And he took a class list, a list of internal classes they gave in this company. And he goes, he picked one. He goes, networking. And he writes it in. He goes, networking. And then he says, sign here. And I came home later that day. And my wife goes, how was your annual review? I said, it was good, though. He wants me to take a networking class. My wife said, so is that IT networking or is that personal networking? I was like, I don't know. I'm going to have to find out. So the problem on development is usually we pick a class. Finance people, presentation skills. I'm going to fix your development by you going off and doing some formalized learning. So the piece that I suggest is look at the Center for Creative Leadership, their approach to the 70-20-10. And I don't adhere to 70-20-10, though what that says is the 70% of people's development is by understanding what they're doing and finding out and saying, okay, in your current role, I can't give you a new job every year. I can't increase your pay massively every year. Though I can give you new projects. I can give you stretch assignments. We can change the scope and move you out here and get you into new areas. That's in my wheelhouse. Though it also depends on what motivates and inspires people. So finding out for people's next period, where is your 70% is huge. And then there's this sandwich piece in the middle, which is the 20%. I think the Center for Creative Leadership says it's mentoring and coaching conversations, important conversations. It could be with your colleagues. It could be with your boss. It could be with other people in other areas, like doing a Gemba. Areas you can learn and grow and reflect. And that is coaching. And then mentoring is getting advice from others. So if we could give people the link to the Center for Creative Leadership 70-20-10, there's just so much out there. And I would encourage it and even request people strongly to talk to your leaders to make sure that you have a 70-20-10. Oh, and the 10%, yeah, forgot to say that. The 10% is the formalized learning. That's what my boss went for, the networking. And that's taking a TED, you know, going to TED Talks, reading a journal, trade fairs, observing, taking a class. And with this, I believe you can start the conversation. How does it land for you from your experience as well?
Same to similar to what you just shared. I think that what you highlighted, the inspiration versus motivation, is super important because, you know, we train to motivate people. And as you said beautifully, people can't be motivated. They need to be inspired from inside out to be able to naturally feel what they really want to do. And the whole model of 70-20-10, I think it's so well rehearsed in the leadership and development in HR, but it's not applied in the real life situation. I think still people are struggling in fully understanding how can they create these circumstances, especially in 70%, which is an on-job training, when people are really understanding their job, being able to deepen their knowledge, being able to progress all by themselves. So I think it's a super clear model for, especially for the leaders who are willing to engage proactively in motivating, inspiring, and maintaining their talents. Absolutely, I'm with you on that.
I have some people that don't want a 70-20-10. They want to do what they're doing. They're on the production line. They're out there doing this, or they've been. So I encourage people to say, that's okay. Not everybody wants a stretch assignment. Not everybody wants conversations. And though I would let people know in today's ever-changing world that if we stay static and don't develop, the skills we have today may not be what an organization needs tomorrow. So as nicely and kindly and benevolently as one can, let people know how important they are. Sometimes after people hear that, they're like, okay, I can sit down and do it. So I wouldn't leave anybody out in the cold. And if they refuse it, then I'd say, well, you know, that's okay. Anyway, go ahead, Zoran. Back to you.
No, and then my next thing is that communication, you know, plays an important and vital role in talent retention, growth, and development. What would you say on that? Because that's the sweet area of your expertise.
Okay, so I remember sitting in a room with you years ago, and we were doing a training for leading others. And it was up in Denmark, and they said, oh, we forgot to tell you about the logbook. What? And they said, yeah, so leaders need to log their people, and people need to log themselves. And when I heard it, I was surprised. I was like, logging? That sounds like, you know, the black book is who I saw you say that, and I'm going to log you. You've been logged, man. What I didn't realize at the time is, you know, if you've got 12 people and you're trying to communicate with them and foster and retain talent, you don't remember what they've done. And they barely remember what they've done. So the whole of the conversation, and I've just started to like the log book, is tell people to log their what they're doing well, what they're learning, what worked well, what didn't, and throughout the year to do that. So it allows the conversation. I mean, we always log, we always remember stuff. How do we systematize it? So a piece that I've come to learn is get leaders to get their people to log themselves. It makes the development conversation a lot easier. Most people remember 2 weeks ago, and not even. I mean, ask somebody what they had for dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, I don't know. Systematize the conversation and get people to track on a system where we can refer back to it. And then you can hold the conversation.
Yeah. I was just saying, I was talking over you, sorry for that. I was just saying, especially right now when we're all overloaded with the amount of information, our retention and memory, it's always exposed. So a lot of people do report when it comes to their well-being or how they retain information and that they forget things. So logging, you know, those developmental conversations, logging your progression, really being able to document and systematize will help having a productive, fruitful, and interesting development conversation with the leader and the talent, right?
Absolutely. And I had an international organization. I came in for a coaching session with the woman. She said, there goes my promotion. Like, what happened? Because my boss is being transferred to Beijing. Like, oh, okay. And how is that linked to promotion? Well, she said, I have a new leader and she has no idea what I'm doing. And she's the one who's going to calibrate me. And I have to have my development conversation with her and she doesn't understand my role. I said, well, share your logbook. Oh, she said, I never did that. It felt like too much work. I said, Sharon, she said, I'm going to go back and make it. And she went back 10 months. She said, it took me forever, though she said, I remember it a lot. And I gave it to my new leader. I held a conversation with my old leader using our communication skills that we practiced. And I could transition and the new leader could represent me and start inspiring me. And I felt like we had a connection. So I just can't say how important the logbook is.
Beautiful. And I really hope people see it for the value that it is. So now when it comes to leaders practicing communication skills, to be able to have these developmental conversations, to be able to have an inspiring conversation with their talent, what would you suggest to leaders to do, to try, to experiment with when it comes to key communication skills they require?
Well, one that's always a stretch is that we have two of these and one of those. And we should listen more than we talk. And ask questions to people before we speak. The other one is, our colleague, Parkell, said, wait, why am I talking? And when you're holding these conversations, let people talk and tell you and listen and be present in the moment, connect and be benevolent and open and compassionate. I think also being honest and let people know what's possible, not, is hugely important. And a lot of my exercises to get people to stop using button, however.
Why? Why is that so important? I know that you're so passionate about the but versus and distinction. So for the audience who are listening to this for the first time,
right,
I would really, I'd love if you can explain this.
So it's when we hear the word but, our brain remembers all our past conflict. And our brain remembers that, oh, but means that now the person's not being totally open with me, but also indicates that they don't totally agree. And but means that I need to start firing up my fight, flight, freeze mechanism to protect myself. So if I say, Zoran, that's a great idea, but the production team can't do it. But I think it's great. What I'm really saying is I don't like the idea. It can't be done. And I'm just giving you like a little dog bone, a nicey, as you said it. And we tend to hear the but as a landmine word. Okay, then if you can't say but, well, my suggestion is don't use anything. Say, hey, Zoran, thanks for the idea. Pause or comma or new sentence. I talked to the production team. Appears there's going to be two areas next quarter that are going to be a bit of a stretch. How about talking next week and see what we can do? So I didn't need but. I just use sentences stand on, and probably people will hear all of it. If the minute the buck comes up, they're like, oh, he doesn't agree. So when we're getting input, oh, and then there's the polite but. Some people will think, oh, if I can't say but, oh, I'll just say however. However is a disguised but. It's a diplomatic
however.
Yeah, I could. Oh, Zoran, that's a great idea. However, marketing and sourcing said no. So however just means the same. And it reminds people that we're not power with, we're power over right now. And I don't think a power over, power under leader, team member is the healthiest. Yeah. So my suggestion is when you're talking to talent, and we're talking anytime, get rid of it.
Yeah, because we also, it's going to be empowering for them, not for us to use it. And also it's going to call the ownership and their own leadership, that would inspire them to become more leaderful within their work life and also be more engaged, because they will feel this leveling of the power, right? So it's power together, you know, or synchronization of power, instead of being told what to do and being belittled in a way, you know, so not being in honesty. So those, so we have listening, but versus anything else that comes as a good communication tool to you that your PE leaders need to practice even more when it comes to talking to their talent. Especially if they're crucial for them, especially if they're people that they don't want to lose, they want to grow, they want to sustain within the organization.
So while being congruent to self, that's be honest who you are and what you need to say. The other one is give people certitude that you have a direction, that you trust what you're saying, that you're coming across with competence, trusted advisor, what I call the leader-like approach. And the one way to do that is with downward inflection. So that people hear, they don't hear questions and doubts, they hear certitudes. But if I say, Zoran, I've been looking at your development, and I think next year we could get you in some interesting project, so my intonation went up, and the person across from him would be like, you know, this sounds very tentative. Mm. Whereas, Zoran, I was reflecting on our development conversation. And for next year, I see two areas where we could give you some challenging assignments. And based on what the peers motivates you, I think we'd be at a good intersection. So is using a downward inflection so the person feels this, there's a commitment there. Whereas if we go up, it's just questions and doubts and uncertainties to people. So be honest with yourself. Then
we're sensitive to that tonality, right?
In non-tonal languages, it works across the board. And the minute you think tonal language like Cantonese or Mandarin, Thai, they tell me they get louder at the end. So I don't know because I don't speak any of them yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Downward inflection.
I love it. I don't speak them yet.
That's an interesting word because when you tell your people, Steve, I see your development area is learning how to delegate and follow up more with your team. Steve says, oh, I can't delegate. He's closed the door. But what we want to retain and foster talent is to flip it and just say, well, Steve, you don't know how to delegate yet. Let's investigate that. And then it opens up coaching. So I think yet is a huge net win. And then I have some tools. And if you'd like, I can take people through the process where good communication can take place.
I would love to see that. I'm sure the audience would love to experience it.
But I have a flip chart, so I'm going to put this up here.
Oh, look at this beautiful creative thing.
Nice and colorful. I know. The color's my thing. So this is imagining that there's a development conversational cycle taking place. So up in the upper right-hand corner is the logbook. Get people to log. And I would say that the leader logs about 15 to 20% of the time. So the team member, the talent, they actually do most of the logging themselves. And then periodically, we need to sit down with our people so they know how they're performing. And I aspire to a Marshall Goldsmith model of feed forward. Are you familiar with that? And would people understand that?
I think you should just, It needs to know what feedback means.
Feedback sometimes has shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Mm-hmm.
You should have told me that there are 12 of them coming and you could have at least let me know they needed lunch. And it would have been better if we actually had a manual for them. What shoulda, coulda, and woulda implies is that you can change the past. I'd love to. I'd honestly love to change the past sometime. We can't. We can only change the present and the future. So Marshall Goldsmith says, let people know two things. I've added three. Let them know what's going well so they can reproduce it and so that they understand and they can attach to it and feel valued. Then using and, let them know how they can be even better next time when they do something. And so sometimes our brain says should have, could have, would have. Though out of our mouth should come the word next time because nobody can change the past. And then end with an overall compliment, if relevant. So I'd say, hey, Zoran, the executive summary was fantastic because it covered everything in one page. It listed the key components we need to focus on next quarter. It talked about raw material price increases, and it linked to the Excel spreadsheet. And you asked for next time. So there are two areas where I think we can better, even better next time. And Zoran, that would be making sure that we've done the listening to your survey and including that. My sense is I think people are missing the engagement component. And then the second piece next time would be to make sure that we're involving some of the other stakeholders before we publish it. Overall, I think you did a fantastic job. So built in my model is feed forward, whereas feedback can make you wrong in the past and all that shoulda, woulda, coulda. So the model, if I go back to it, get people to log themselves, and then let people know we're going to sit down and talk. So in the preparation phase, and if Zoran, you were my talent, and you were in my team at Zoran, we're going to meet January 5th. We've set it up. I'm going to start by inviting your self-reflection, how you think the last period went. And again, it could be a quarter, a month. I hope not a year, maybe 6 months, because that's too long. And I'd say, so Doran, I want to hear how you think you've done, what you think went well, and how you can be even better next time. And now you put the onus on them. And I would also then do a logistical piece, get a nice place to sit, make sure it's not a hallway. And we've got logistics, we've got a calendar invitation, we have a room, we have significant time. And I say, that's what I'm going to do is after you give me your self-reflection, I want to help communicate back to you what I heard and then share my what went well and even better next time when. So I let people know that you need to prepare this. You can send it to me if you want. You can bring it if you want. And if it's an open culture where this can take root, it to help them, because very often we have a blind spot. We don't know what production thinks of me or what the raw material people or marketing, sales. I think it's okay. So as leader, I would say, Zoran, if it's okay for you, I'm also going to talk to some of the key leaders just to check in what it's been like to work with you and what they think's been working well and what could be even better. I had the following three in mind. Are there other two you'd like me to talk to? So it's a two-way conversation where you have ownership. And if you tell me, no, Robert, you know, I don't want you to talk to them. I think they'd be more representative. Fine. I won't do it behind your back. So in the upper third, we have the whole preparation phase. Any component of this you want to jump on and deepen?
No, I think it's super clear. Let's keep it on that level. Amazing.
Right. Then we get to the room. And then what I tell leaders is facts are our friend and speed's our enemy. Oh, go slowly and give a lot of space to people. Because the minute I start talking fast, that I tell you about what you've been doing, even if I tell you what you went well, their brain won't hear it. So go super slow when you're talking. And then when you get in the room, remind them that their first component is self-evaluation and listen. Guide them through it and say, so what do you think went well? Where do you see yourself next time? What one or two, three things do you need to do better next time? Let's log that. Let's work on it. Now, the benefit of the self-evaluation is two things. One, they've done some work and they've thought about it. The other one is, are we aligned? If they're like, oh, I think they pulled in that project great. This one wasn't good. Though I think it's the opposite. It's like, oh no, she's in another world because that project, this one, well, so I can guide my communication with them based on what they're saying. And more often than not, people tend to be tougher on themselves than you will be. It's not because they should be tough, though this sometimes like, yeah, you know, and then your job is to foster their self-belief by giving them acknowledgement, recognition, and encouragement if they were too tough on themselves. Then after that comes my evaluation. Here's what I think went well, and here's why I think you could be better. Now, there's a very small area on fact. Be factual with them. It's instead of saying, well, I kind of think that, or it's sort of just like, or basically you didn't. These are other communication words to get rid of. Kind of, sort of, just, basically, like, they don't belong in feedback because if I say basically Zoran the year was good, what does that basically mean? Or, well, you need to more or less reach out to stakeholders. There's nothing in there tangible. So I remind people that when you're citing facts, it's specific times, dates, places, quotes, I remember we talked about this, and then places, we're coming off the elevator, and using I sentences. So instead of saying, Zoran, you didn't do this, and you weren't you, and you said, now I'm pointing, I have a weapon, I didn't notice, I didn't observe, I didn't hear. So leave it to you. Mm-hmm. And then when you're done, ask them, how does that land for you? And maybe they'll adjust and go, well, I think you're a bit tough on me on Q1, though I did in Q2. And, oh, okay, I didn't remember that. So you could straighten the story. And then after that, create an action plan, 70-20-10 for the next period. And then SMART. though my version of SMART is a little different to most people's version of SMART, is as a leader, I think you own three things. Let's do something specific. Let's do something measurable. Let's do something time-bound. As leader, that's my responsibility. As we set objectives, I want to know, are they attainable? Though I pose that, I have to find out from you. So we need to talk about, how attainable is this? No, last year prices only went up, sales went up 3%, and you're asking for 10%. So if you can't attain it, you can't have a conversation. And the next one is, do you have the resources to do it? Do you have the relationships in place to get this done? In this team, in that team, inside the organization, outside the organization, and is it realistic? Does it mean something to you? Mm. And if you don't hold those conversations, I don't think you have good objectives. So that's some communication and tool-based areas. At the bottom, if the leader is brave, I would encourage the leader to ask the team member or your talent and say, Zoran, we've been working together for a year now. How's my leadership to you? Are you feeling inspired and developed, fostered, motivated, sponsored? What's going well in terms of my leadership? And is there anything I, as your leader, could do to be even better next year? And then listen to them. Don't argue, listen. And I would repeat it back and say, okay, it appears that you need me to hold those one-on-one meetings and not cancel them. Yeah, I think a couple of them got canceled. So you also want me to step in and be more productive in front of the other team. Okay, I can do that. And you'd like less delegation and more follow-up. Okay, so let them tell you. What you're also doing there is letting them know it's okay to be vulnerable. There's no perfection. And everybody is, we're all equal on the mat. We're all learning and developing and growing, and we can all get better, and there's all things we do well. Now, occasionally some organizations rate their people. I believe that once you've got this, you can rate them. I wouldn't talk about rating before this. I would go through all of this and let them know that I need to think about it. Some organization have a calibration cycle where you put everybody together and look to see if there's a 1 to 5 scale, who are the ones, the twos, the threes, the four, the fives. I will say this. If a leader does this, a leader can calibrate and defend their people a lot better, which leads to more development, more encouragement, more fostering, more retention, more inspirational motivation. So it's a whole cycle that builds on itself. And then after that, the rating calibration, I let them know what they got, if the organization still does that, and thank them. I believe gratitude is a huge piece as well. So in a nutshell, there's a couple communication tips, and there's a tool, and I can't say how much I value people's opinions on this. So I'd love to hear people's comments and questions and dialogue on this.
Absolutely. And I'm absolutely sure that people will engage. And for me, the beauty of seeing this visual and seeing this flip chart presentation is that it gives a very clear journey into creating the powerful relationship with the talent in this case, and making sure that this developmental conversation that are crucial for talents, because let's face it, talents do want to grow and develop. They want to expand their skills and competences. Sometimes we're not able to do this in a way they would expect it to be done. As you said beautifully, we cannot promote them all the time. We cannot give them increases right all the time. We cannot, you know, shift them around the organization all the time. There's limitations in organizational systemic structure. But those conversations will be able to connect you to your talents at such a deeper level that the relationship will strengthen, and therefore you will be able to know what can you do to be able to motivate, inspire, and retain your talent. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Robbie, for that. My last question for this is that a lot of the times people would love to do this and they don't have time. So what do you say to leaders who are saying, Robbie, Zoran, we're listening to this, we know, or I know I need to do this, but I struggle with time. How do we respond to that?
Well, my encouragement is take the time. It appears the first time you're doing it, it's like driving a car the first time. It'll be a bit rocky the first time. You're in unconscious incompetence. You have no idea. You don't know what you didn't know. And then you get to conscious incompetence. Do it. And the more you do it, the less time it takes, because the onus is on your people. And it's do it regularly throughout the period. And I would say it probably take 2 to 5% of your time, though the upside is just a developmental, inspirational shift that shows that you care. And so I think it takes the transactional side of managing into the personal side of leading.
Yeah.
Now, so commit to it. It's if you're a leader, it's your job.
Exactly.
Lead more.
Leader, it's your job, and it's a lovely job to develop and grow people. And the more time you take, the more connection you create and more warmth you display, and you show that you care. So let's leave you with that. I think this was a beautiful, fully intense, packed communication between the two of us, giving a lot of tools. So I'm sure that we can listen to this again and again and again and unpack bits and pieces that Robbie shared with us today. So Robbie, thank you so much for finding us today. It was joy and pleasure to have you. And for the audience, thank you so much for listening, for tuning in. We hope this was elevating, inspiring, and that with this specific toolkit, you will be able to do something very special for your talents, growing them, inspiring them, retaining them, and making them feel good at their work. Thank you so much for tuning in, and bye for now.